Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Was nothing to do, and the neighbors were mean. I sat in my room and I tried not to scream. We fought and squabbled every third day.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ever get a bad gift, a crummy tie for your birthday, a pair of hideous socks? You probably smiled, thanked the giver for their good taste, and then stashed the thing in a drawer. Well, songwriter Jill Sobule did that too when she received a bracelet loaded with charms and inscribed with someone else's name. But recently, she and a few of her friends dug up that bad gift and used it to make a new record. We'll hear the full story in a bit, but Jill Sobule is here in the studio with her band and a couple of special guests to play a few songs from her new album called Dottie's Charms. Here is Jill Sobule playing a song called Flight, live on Soundcheck.
I was racing to see you. I packed flip-flops and a new black bathing suit. But from the very moment I got off that plane, all I saw through every window was pewter color rain. On Friday night you tried to make me smile, but everything about you was faded and diluted. You were much more solid in my memory. Up close you look like a poor facsimile. Fight, fight, never should have caught that flight. Fight, never should have caught that flight. Fight, never should have caught that plane. On Saturday morning tried to go to the shooting range. We tried to make homemade pumpkin soup. And we paid too much for that pinball machine show we both agreed was so-so. We sat inside so much of that long, long weekend. On your grandmother's old furniture, that itchy couch. And broken chair, at least the bed, thank God, was new. But by Sunday morning, we both knew we were. Talk and we complimented ourselves for not being mean and tried to figure out the best way to still be friends, but in the end what we were saying was the end, 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 the end.
That is Jill Sobule and her band live on Soundcheck with a song called Flight, which appears on her new album, Dottie's Charms. Jill Sobule singing and playing a six-string banjo, is that?
Yeah, you know, I was too lazy to learn the real banjo, so it's a gitcho.
So it's tuned like a guitar.
It's like, you know, Why, at this stage in my life, why learn a new instrument?
Jill playing the banjo, Alex Nolan playing the guitar, and she too did a bit of singing on that song. Amanda Rutza playing the bass, and Joe McGinty at our piano. A couple of other folks here in the studio that I'll get to in a moment, because Jill, this album is not just you by your lonesome.
It's a collaboration.
With a bunch of writers. Now, who wrote the lyrics for Flight?
Vindola
Vida.
What I did is I gave her the charm that was the airplane charm.
So tell me about this bracelet. It's somebody gave you this thing, and it's inscribed to somebody named Dorothy, not to you.
Dorothy, yeah. She found it. She gave it to me for some reason. It looks like it's a charm bracelet from the, what would you say, 50s, James?
Yeah. That's James Marcus, the executive editor at Harper's Magazine, who is one of the other writers who contributed lyrics. And then I might as well also introduce now David Haidu, the author who's been with us before on New Sounds and a music critic for The New Republic. So, James and David, welcome.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
All right, who gave you this charm bracelet?
My friend Mary-Kate O'Neill. Mary-Kate O'Neill gave me this charm bracelet, and like you said, I put it away in a drawer that, you don't want to throw them away or give it away because it's a gift. It's a nice thing to do. So one day I took it out, and little by little I started becoming obsessed with this charm bracelet. There were 20 charms, and they were all like really interesting charms. They were all like 20 clues to this person's life. It wasn't like my mother had one, but it was just the names of the grandchildren.
Right.
This was more interesting. And at the same time, I was talking with David Haidu about I'd love to figure out a collaboration, a project where I write with some of my favorite authors, mm-hmm. including David himself. And we had written a song together. And I don't know the evolution. Maybe you can help on what happened first, David. But then we decided Dottie's bracelet was going to, Dottie's charm bracelet was going to be this collaboration.
So it's like a concept record. What was your reaction, David, when she first came to you with this bracelet idea?
Well, we cooked it up together walking down the street. We were actually trying to come up with some sort of idea that would involve multiple writers. And we had a number of other ideas until we hit on the charm bracelet idea. And that just seemed perfect for a number of reasons. One is we have in the charms material evidence of a life that's a mystery, but it also gave us an opportunity to reach out to writers who don't usually do songs. And we had a feeling together that that would tap something in people, because every writer after Dylan and the Beatles really wants to be a songwriter when they grow up, you know?
Well, Jonathan Lethem has been quite open about that when he's been on the show in the past, to the point where he has actually written lots of lyrics and put them out there for people to use.
That's our next record, right, Jill? The lyrics of Jonathan Lethem. So, you know, it was pretty... I was thinking Norman Mailer once said that every writer wants to be God, to play God. But, I mean, the only thing greater than being God is being a rock star. So, you know, here's the opportunity to do that.
And for me, it's the opposite, whereas I can write a lyric.
Sure.
But to write something that's more than 800 characters, a 900-page novel, that seems unearthly to me. So
to be able to get people who can do that sort of long-form writing to write lyrics.
Right.
That was kind of an interesting test,
it was interesting because they're verbose.
Now, James, what was Jill's pitch to you when she brought you this idea?
Jill and David passed along the specific charm, which in this case was a tiny swivel chair that actually swiveled and was clearly evidence of an office job. And now any of the lyricists who actually had some kind of interest in music were invited to submit a demo as well. So I not only wrote my set of lyrics, but immediately ran to my computer and recorded a multi-track demo, which Jill was shrewd enough to throw away immediately. But a few other people did. Rick Moody, who was also a musician, did basically, I think, a voice demo of some kind that he sang into Jill's answering machine. But that one survived more than most of them. So, you know, the bar was set very high if you wanted to interfere musically. But the only other thing I would add is that although the writers of the lyrics were not in communication with each other, a remarkably coherent personality emerged from most of the lyrics put together. So, I mean, that's freaky, man.
Yeah. And whose personality would that, is that you, Jill, or is that Dottie / Dorothy coming through these various songs?
Yeah, I mean, I relate to, I she's my pal now, Dorothy. Dottie, and what's interesting, too, is that on all her vacations, you know, there's Kentucky, she's been to Map of Kentucky, Mackinac.
And you know this because of the charms on
right,
the bracelet.
She's always getting dumped. You know, but she's a sad sack, but she seems like an underdog.
So now you're assuming all of this because of the charms on the bracelet, right? You don't really know who this person was.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, you know, we partly made her the person we wanted to make her. The truth is, I made the calls or emails to the writers, and none of the writers saw the lyrics that the other writers wrote. And we sort of all imagined the sad person sort of traveling around the country looking for love and getting dumped. But among the 20 charms in the charm bracelet is a wedding ring and baby booties. But we kind of ignored the possibility that maybe she might have been happily married with a family. It's not, you know, that's not so interesting.
Now, I mean, David, you and James are both historians. Is this good historical research here? I mean, the baby booties and the wedding ring, yeah, that doesn't appeal to me. I'll just leave that out of this little tale.
Well, one thing I want to say is that, so say she has the baby booties. Well, what kind of crappy grandchild or kid sold that bracelet? That's what I do want to know. I'd love to find her.
Well, you certainly have found someone, apparently, in mining this collection of charms. Again, the album is called Dottie's Charms. How many? There were 20 on the bracelet. How many songs do you have?
11, right?
11.
11 on the record.
Is it 11 or is it 12?
There's 11 on the record.
Okay.
There may be some.
There might be a bonus
added
track.
Treats coming
yes.
down the chute.
Okay. Yes. So lyrics by people like Jonathan Lethem and Rick Moody, the ubiquitous Rick Moody, Mary Jo Salter, Venda Levita, as we heard, and of course my two guests, James Marcus and David Haydu. The performances of this song cycle, taking place on June 13th at the Rubin Museum of Art here in New York. And so do you see this, Jill, as a song cycle, as a kind of a, you know, all one of one piece?
Absolutely. You know, concept records are all the rage right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it is. It gives me something to focus on. But it is a song cycle.
Yeah. All right, so the one you're going to do for us next is called Statue of Liberty, and this is one that Jonathan Lethem wrote lyrics for.
Yes.
Did you have to do any massaging of anybody's lyrics after they had sent them to you?
Oh yeah, but because there were some where you had to take out a syllable here and there to fit into the meter. There were times where there was, like Flight, the last one, mm-hmm. where I just added a chorus to and just repeat stuff.
Right,
you
right.
know, so basically it's there, but it's still a little bit of a puzzle.
Yeah.
To put things in to make into a coherent song.
So Statue of Liberty, can we assume that the charm was in fact a little Statue of Liberty?
It sure was.
All right. Let's hear another one of Dottie's Charms, the new album by singer-songwriter Jill Sobule and a whole slew of authors helping with lyrics on this new record of hers. Here she is with the band, though, playing a live version of Statue of Liberty here on Soundcheck.
When we started migrating across this great land, should have known we'd never cross, dancing hand in hand. You were my consolation, my booby prize. Fat chance I'd ever see the horizon in your eyes. We went to see the Statue of Liberty. they call it a Statue of Liberty. I swear I saw it move. I swear I saw it move. Yeah, when you showed me that Statue of Liberty, I believed I heard a song I could sing. But it's only a Statue of Liberty, not the real thing, not the real thing, not the real thing. Developing the footage at the finish of the trip. In retrospect, it's obvious what made the camera slip. A malt shop in a booth, you offered me this charm. Knew of no earthly reason do me any harm. We went to see the Statue of Liberty, feeling we had nothing to prove. Though they call it a Statue of Liberty, I swear I saw it move. I swear I saw it move. Yeah, when you showed me that Statue of Liberty, I believe I heard a song I could sing. But it's only Statue of Liberty, not the real thing, not the real thing, not the real thing, not the real thing.
Statue of Liberty, music from Jill Sobule from her new album Dottie's Charms, for which she had a number of different writers contribute lyrics, each song based on one of the charms on an old charm bracelet inscribed to Dorothy/Dottie. Statue of Liberty had lyrics by Jonathan Lethem, and Jill sang it here in the studio with Joe McGinty at our piano. And she's also got Amanda Rutza on bass and Alex Nolan on guitar, and James Marcus and David Haydu, two of the authors in the project, are with us here in the Soundcheck studio today as well. The performance of Dottie's Charms is June 13th here in New York at the Rubin Museum of Art. And we're going to hear James Marcus's contribution to this album next. The song is called My Chair, inspired by a charm of an office chair. And here once again, live on Soundcheck, is Jill Sobule and her band.
What do I see to the right of me? The man in A473. He's got a rash where his sleeves rolled up and a swizzle stick in his pencil cup. See to the left of me, it's Ginger from Parsippany. Her hair is brown and her face is red. Her Labrador sleeps on the bed. And what do I see in front of me? A hint of domesticity. The supervisor's little boys smile. seat to the left of me, a man that I would rather be. The deeper voice in the dappled clothes, the leather shoes his girlfriend shows. Tell me what is left of me, a great republic guarantee. The little kingdom that I rule is empress of the envoy's pool. My chair is 20 stories high. See you when you tell a lie. Where you ate and where you slept, promises you never kept. You never
My Chair is the name of the song. Jill Sobule and her band live on Soundcheck with Joe McGinty at the piano, Alex Nolan on guitar. She did backing vocals as well. Amanda Rutza playing the bass and Jill singing and playing the guitar. Lyrics by James Marcus, who is executive editor at Harper's Magazine. And James, you're in the middle of or getting close to finishing a book about Emerson, right?
I wish I was closer to the finish than I am, but I'm moving slowly in that direction, yeah.
So this was a little detour.
This was a very pleasant detour away. I should also...
Did you write the boot-doot-doot-doot-doot at the end?
No, the doot-doot-doot was supplied by Jill and her band. But I did want to add that not only did all of the lyricists eagerly rush on board for nothing, Jill, who has a genius for enlisting free labor from people, also got... three filmmakers, as well as the illustrator and painter Molly Crabapple, to dive into this project. And the entire package is available at Harper's Magazine, as well as streamable versions of all the songs.
And they did such a gorgeous job.
Yeah, it's at harpers.org, and it's the page is really, you know, it's got all three videos and for the three songs that have been filmed. And a track list that gives you not only who did the lyrics, but the charm from the charm bracelet that inspired it. And Jill, did you assign charms or did you let people pick? And if the latter, did you have like multiple people saying, I want the chair, I want the plane?
No, I think that, you know, everyone got a pick except for the ones that are already
right.
chosen. So I think that was there was no problems.
Okay.
That I know of.
And, any polite declining from potential writers?
I did have a list of a few that I, but I was excited anyway. I wanted to, you know, you can't get away from your childhood. I did ask Judy Blume, and I got the sweetest letter about how she loves charm bracelets and she wears her mother's.
Well, you know, some of the authors that you enlisted for this project also did a previous album with the Brooklyn band One Ring Zero, where they also sent out letters to different writers. And they, too, got a declining email from an author, from the author Michael Chabon. So what they did was they set the email to music.
Well, Michael wanted to do this.
Michael Chabon.
Yeah, he, in fact...
He was on my list.
He said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. We thought, well, let's give everybody a you know, three-month deadline. So you know, I made calls or sent emails and gave everyone, you know, 90 days. And Michael said, well, I'd love to do this. I'm working on a book deadline. I can't meet the 90-day deadline. I'm sorry. So, you know, he said, well, too bad we missed Chabon. But then the project took 4 years.
We could have
gone back.
All right. Well, so when you do the remix version, You know, you can enlist a few more people.
You didn't mention Jackie Collins.
Yeah, I did. I almost got Jackie Collins, which I thought would have been fantastic.
That would have been really interesting. But you did get David Haydu here and James Marcus, who's also here, and Jonathan Lethem and Rick Moody and Mary Jo Salter and so many others for this program/project called Dottie's Charms. Now, Jill, you are a songwriter. You're used to writing your own.
I'm a lyric writer.
Yeah. So how different, maybe even difficult, was this to suddenly be working with other people's words?
Well, on one hand, it was kind of that slacker part of me was like, that's taken care of. You know? But what it also did was have me, when I, you know, they always ask what comes first, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Sammy Kahn. Someone asked him what the first comes first, the lyrics or
the
music.
Melody.
He says, the paycheck. You know, what that But I like to write the story. I'm a storyteller, so I always like to write the lyrics first. So this was great for me to focus on music and to look at music as writing try to have as a soundtrack to the lyric. And I actually asked a couple friends to help me, like Mike Viola. So I want to give him props and my friend Adam Levy.
So in terms of writing the music, I mean, the texts that you got from the various writers would have given you some constraints, maybe some direction.
Well, for instance, the swivel chair. Right. I was thinking that this woman was a working woman. She had, and I imagine, a secretary. And so to me, from the time period, I mean, I was thinking first year of Mad Men. So, of course, it had to have a little back rack.
Yeah,
And
a little what do you get when you fall in love?
Of course. And say Sam Lipsitz was the stirrup. So I was thinking it had to I was thinking Marty Robbins for some reason. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I had a little mariachi horn with the pedal steel.
The guy who wrote El Paso.
El Paso.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in a way, it was really fun. I got to, you know, this was not a pop album. I got to experiment and have fun doing this.
Yeah. Did you write out charts for everybody to play?
Oh no, what I do is I hire really great musicians. I don't know how to do that crap.
So that's part of their gig, is to know to read your mind and
exactly.
Know what it is.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Dottie's Charms, again, based on the charm bracelet. We don't know who the original Dottie, a.k.a. Dorothy, was, but, you know, the charms give us lots of clues and all these writers have rushed in to build a story around those clues. And in the story of the album, I mean, do you hear a narrative in, you know, do we go someplace in Dottie's life here?
Oh, don't. I mean, as I've been working musicals the last year, too. I mean, I'm, you know, my mind is like, Dottie goes to Broadway. We find out what happens to Dottie. No, I'm serious, though.
Okay.
You know, I'm not done with Dottie. I need to find out more. I'm not done with her.
Well, the album is called Dottie's Charms. It is out now, and Jill Sobule and friends will be performing these songs at the Rubin Museum of Art here in New York on June 13th. There's also this great page that Harper's has put up dedicated to Jill's album, Dottie's Charms. It includes the three videos that were shot to accompany three of the tracks. And the album, Dottie's Charms, is out now. James Marcus, David Haydu, and, of course, Jill Sobule and the band. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
This is Soundcheck.
You know it's not pronounced Mackinac, it's Mackinaw, Mackinaw. It's an Indian name, but it almost sounds French. Mackinaw, la Mackinaw.
If you enjoyed this in-studio performance, join us nearly every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern to listen in as we record a session for an upcoming episode of the show. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to get updates on each day's guest. Then stream the session live at 2 p.m. Eastern on soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you back here next time.
No moving vehicles, no glitz, no buzz. Preserving a history that never quite was. So magically sweet and so beautiful.